she's doing the voice. Can you do a voice record, right?
Yes, I am.
That's good. Good, I can't record it here.
Is on camera.
No, they got them turned off. Just we are. Me?
Yeah, now we are.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just we're supposed to be visible.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And you know, when I record it, it shows everything bigger. Here, it just shows the screen.
Nice. That's a big game. Sandra is not here. It is 7:01. Can we proceed?
I'd say yes.
All right. Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting, audit committee meeting. Meeting ID 935-422-9176, password 301715. We're in person at 27 Pleasant Street, two seats. June 29th at 7:01 p.m. and we have Greg Conrad and Maxine on video. Thanks to everybody that's here. Thank you, Lawrence. Need a motion to approve the agenda or if there's any additions.
So moved.
Second, moved by Joanne, second by Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
Approved. We don't have any minutes, so we'll move right into four, and we'll turn the floor over to Lawrence.
Okay, so everyone has a copy of the statements that they don't follow along. Start with the independent auditor's report. I don't bother to read the paragraph, but it is a clean public opinion. Page three is a consolidated statement of financial activities. So this includes the capital and operating and reserve activities. The surplus combined is $240,978. The breakdown is there's a $25,000 surplus in operating. The investment capital assets increased by $91,822, and your reserve funds increased by $123,389. That's the breakdown of that number. Under page four, the consolidated financial position. So your cash balance is about over last year, and that's because you cashed in some of your investments and plans to purchase the land. So there's 776 on hand versus 283 plus the reserves. The GICs are 1.1 million versus 1.4, and then your HST is higher than what it might be similar. Okay. Well, yeah, there it is. But you can just probably last page. So.
That you, Sandra?
Come on in. There you go, Sandy.
Here.
It's there. Great. Just start with.
Backtrack a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Through the agenda. Lawrence, let you backtrack.
Yeah, I'll go start again at the consolidated statement of financial activities. For page three. The total revenue is 964, and the surplus is 240,978. The breakdown of the surplus was 25,767 was from operations. The investment capital assets increased by 91,822, and the reserve funds increased by 123,389. Page four, the statement of financial position. Cash is up over last year. Some of the investments were sold, so the cash is on hand for the purchase of the land. The investments are therefore down. The HST receivable is higher because I booked the payable, and you see the lower payable is booked for the remaining amount of land. So that's why receivables is so much higher. And then the other receivables is higher because there's a $20,000 grant for the fire equipment that was received at the end of the year. And then there's $10,000 of accrued interest related to short-term investments. And then there's about $3,000 in channels. So that's about $33,000. Payables. So the payables is $687 versus $32,000. $663,000 of that is the land. There's about $8,000 in accruals, $12,000 in trade payables, and the severance under all included in the balance. So the change in the net financial assets is explained on the next page, so just keep those in mind, that 1.322 to the 1.766, so that's on the next page, and when we get there, I'll explain that. Prepaid expenses is $17,000 versus $15,000, and that's the insurance, that's the, and the radio, there's a radio that was paid for in March for next year, just the radio service. And the insurance is just the timing difference of your insurance is not the same as your calendar year, so there's so many months that's prepaid for the next year. Under property, plant, and equipment, so you spent $888,000. $763,000 of that land, $75,000 on the little pool, and the rest of it was hard. So the surplus, and this is where that breakdown comes in, about how your 240 breaks down. If the reserve funds increased by 123, investment increased by 91, and accumulated surplus increased by 25. So this next page explains the change in that net financial asset number. So we start with a surplus of 240, and we take off the acquisition of tangible capital assets of 83, and then the amortization of assets is 199, and then the change in the prepaid is that 1672. So your net financial assets decreased by 443. So you ended at 1.322.
Decreased by how much?
443,000.
Sorry, I thought I heard 333.
No, so yeah, 443, and then so it ends at 1.329. Yeah. And so what this number represents is kind of like your current assets. It's your assets less your liabilities that aren't related to fixed assets. So still a pretty helpful number. So your consolidated statement of change in bank position or your cash flow statement is kind of where the money came from and where it went. So we start with a surplus of 240 and we add back amortization because it's non-cash. And then after changes in working capital, there were $1,023,000 generated from operations. There was $654,000 of investments sold and then $337,000 of investments purchased. And then there's $883,000 of assets purchased. So overall cash increased by $456,000, but that's mainly because you were cashing out your investments and paying, and you hadn't actually paid for the land. That's why the payables is so high. And so your cash increased by $456,000 and you're at $776,000. The next few pages are the notes to the financials. They have the accounting policies that the village follows. Note 2 on page 8 has a breakdown of the land, of the tangible capital assets by category. You can see the land increased by 663. The machinery equipment was 144, which is mostly fire equipment. And then the pool increased by 75,000. And your net book value at the end of the year was 2.14 million.
Are people going to think that we paid $662,000 for the land?
If it was the only land you purchased, I'll look at that. That's what the cost was. So, with all the other soft costs included. So, the page 9, you know, 3, so this is your surplus. So, it started with, this is your accumulated surplus. You started with 282 and increased by the $25,000 surplus for the year. And so, you ended at 308. Investment capital assets started at 1.465, this is note 4. There was 271,000 that came from reserves, and then 20,000 that came from the fire grant, and then it goes down by the amortization of 200,000 and ends at 1.557. So the only other one thing to go over, note page 11 and 12 have the details of the expenses. You guys see those every month, so I'm sure you're aware of what's in there.
The land that the fire hall is currently on, is that considered to be on the 66th?
Yeah, because it would be based on its original cost. Yeah. So the only other thing I really wanted to go over was the reserve page, page 13. So there were some changes to this between the past draft and this draft, and the main change was to see under the operating reserve that there was 123 transferred from the reserve at the start of the year, and that was based on you guys were putting money away for, but then, and this is what you guys will have to decide if you want to do this or not, but then instead of borrowing, if you transfer the 123 that you transferred out of during the year towards obtaining the land, then that the ending balance of your reserve would be 180,000. So essentially, the 123 goes in and the 123 comes back. And you're basically in the same position as last year, and in that way, you don't have a debt repayment of that 123 in future years, so that helps solve some of your budgeting issues. So under the building reserve, we started with $379,000. There's $1,300 of interest earned and then $10,000 transferred from operating. That $10,000 is the related amount for the EMC. And then there was $51,936 spent towards the building reserve, and that's the money that was paid in the current year towards the land. Under the fire equipment reserve, or fire truck reserve, it started with $741,000. There's $150,000 transferred into operations, and then $9,400 of interest earned. So it ends at 901. You'll see above that there's $150,000 and a future from. And essentially, because you haven't bought the land, all that's happened as of March 31 is you've just transferred the money to operations. So it's just sitting in a future from as of March 31. And then when you actually purchase it, it's going to become a loan from the capital fund. So that's just going to roll to be a loan as it's repaid. So the Dell fund, a little pool fund, started at 163. It was $1,788 of interest earned. And so I showed the, on the past draft, I showed that this was partially funded by taking money out of the reserve based on the budget. But when you put the $123,000 back into your bottom line, you would have had a $77,000 surplus. So I figured you didn't want to have that large of a surplus. So I showed that those expenses were paid out of the reserve instead, or by essentially by operating. Documents reserve went over, utilities reserve just went up by the interest earned, and the equipment reserve is where I show any equipment that's purchased by operating. Operating is not really supposed to buy equipment directly, so we show it as a transfer to reserve and then show it as purchase funds. So that would be the fire equipment and other equipment that's purchased in the year. So at the end of the year, you have $1.623 million in reserve. And up above, you'll see on the asset side, there's $10,000 is the accrued interest. The $1.13 million is in GICs. And then, of course, is the amount that's been advanced to the operating fund. And that's the amount that will be turned into a loan to buy. And only the amount related to that will be the loan is the 150. The 320 is coming from the building fund, your contribution towards the loan from the fund. But because it hasn't actually been purchased, you can't show it down below as a transfer kind of expense.
I have a question with regard to the building reserve.
Yeah.
And tracking that over since 2018. What's 51,936 transfer?
So this is the amount that was spent on the land in March. Between in the current fiscal year.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was your consultant, your $30,000 of your deposit, and then $20,000 for consulting fees, survey fees, other costs associated with
okay.
getting old.
In April of 2019, there was a recommendation to transfer $39,000. From the EMC reserve account into the general funds account.
Okay.
There was concern that that would be proof disappear.
Yeah, I have a separate balance on the, if you look on the draw balance, there's actually a separate equity account that has the amount that's related to the EMC building.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's being tracked. And then I adjusted it this year by the revenues from the EMC building less the expenses. I allocated that portion of your surplus into that separate. So it is being tracked.
So we have about $43,000 in that account.
I'd have to, does anyone have, do you have the trial balance? That actually detailed one? I'd have to see that. I have it separately. I don't, in my book, I don't have it.
Okay. So there isn't any need to transfer annually $10,000 into a EMC reserve.
You technically don't unless you want it to be shipped on the reserve. But you got to remember that for that amount is part of your accumulated surplus. But I track it that way just because you don't have a reserve, and I think you have concern that you want it not to disappear. So I set up a new account in equity so you can track how much money related to. But once you make the money, it's it's up to the commission on how it's spent, so.
Okay, well, I think it's important to, given the age of the EIC building and the capital expenditures that have been necessary and will be necessary, but I don't know, maybe we should discuss at some point, Bill, setting up a separate reserve, as we started to do with the $10,000 contribution, but it looks as though we don't need it.
And that $10,000 there, I didn't want to have two, I didn't want to create, this is pretty cluttered already. So that $10,000 there is the $10,000 we put in this year.
Right. But I'm saying, if we've got $43,000 or $39,000, and I think it was suggested that there'd be a limit of $50,000 in that reserve, that we probably have enough.
Yeah. So in the future, if you want to, you can just move that money, physically, but when you do that, it becomes expense. So just like that 123, when you transfer any money to a reserve, it's an expense of operations. So you just got to keep that in mind because it will make your accumulated surplus go down with that.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
You said your equipment reserve, you transfer out because you can't buy it directly.
Yeah. So when you essentially your income, your account balance has all of your expenses are kind of at part of the operating balance of the expenses. So I move them all to one account that's related, that I call it transfer to reserve, and then I show it as a purchase from the reserve. And that's just for financial statement purposes, just because you're not technically supposed to buy capital assets or your operating funds directly. It's supposed to be like transfer to reserve and then bought from a reserve. So I'm kind of getting you around the rules by presenting it this way.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And I do that with a lot of my villages because they've always done, there's only one child balance, and this is actually three separate funds. So like when I send the information, I actually send one that's by fund, because so, each fund has to balance independently. But that's the problem, have one child balance, not three. So. Are we happy with the changes that I made that you're going to just put 120 instead of war or the 123, we're just putting it into operation. So essentially it just went in and went out in the year, so no effect on the bottom line essentially. There's no expense and because they kind of wash each other. And then the other change that I made was that instead of moving 40,000 from the pool reserve back to operations, that operations would just pay the full amount for the grants. And you still have a surplus of 5,000.
Any other questions or concerns?
Your head works a lot better than mine, doesn't it? Sound like that.
Thank you, Lawrence, for the
okay. Yeah. So, well, it's a reserve. It's an operating reserve, and it's meant to be dipped into as needed. And the reason they did that is because in the past, they didn't have an operating reserve, and so you had to budget a deficit in order to use your accumulated surplus. And then that kind of looks bad. So this allows you to transfer money in balance here. So you don't plan a deficit, you just transfer money from your reserve rather than having to budget for the deficit to use accumulated surplus.
And you're right about the wording of the reserve funds policy.
It's
clarified.
Yeah, for the FRAM, it says you can use it on anything that you're allowed to spend money. Mm-hmm. And it's right in the FRAM.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for emergency purposes or so you can just update your policy.
Well, then, you should have a to push this through from the audit committee through to the
I'll
Okay, Nancy made the motion. Martin seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Not Just a little about what you brought.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
It's a walking movement.
So with that,
we know that on the next item on the agenda, if Lawrence sees any risk or uncertainty.
Yeah, so no, I didn't find any in control weaknesses this year. Everything seems to be running as per. So on my manager letter, it will state that there is no internal weaknesses found. That's good.
Financial control deviation.
Four
C. I don't think there's much problem there. Relationship with the auditor.
We were talking about.
Yeah.
Put it out to tender.
Going to tender and
then recommend.
Because we're 3 years, 4 years with us.
Yeah, I think it passed. I think we kind of extended because of COVID. So no.
So we'll be in touch. And the audit committee composition. Were you happy?
Composition.
Meaning once or twice a year, it's a person with the new group. After elections, we may look at something a little different. Instead of moving twice a year, that's all it was.
Yeah, your minimum is twice because you're supposed to meet pre audit and post audit.
Yeah. So.
But then you meet other times to do probably your own.
Are we not required to outside Google table?
You. It depends on your policy. A lot of them only have one. Just because it's really hard to find people to sit on the board, sit on the commission.
To make that decision tonight, if we're allowed to, we should go to two if we can get another one.
Yeah, you're allowed to have whatever your policy dictates. I have a lot that have none, and a lot that and some that have only. They're advertised and they have it every month and no one's interested.
And they have to go out and beat the bushes.
Yeah.
So the idea is after the election, whatever the composition of the committee of the commission will be, they'll have to deal with how many meetings we're going to have, things like that.
Yeah. I think your recommendation is four.
Yeah.
It does say in our policy, composition of the committee shall consist of all members of the commission and one citizen appointed as a voting member.
Unless we want to change it to two.
You need people who are financially
literate.
It's important. There is some training that's provided, but it's not. They should have a basic understanding of financial statements to start with. And these are not normal financial statements. They're done by fund accountants, and the public sector, they're not for profit or non-profit, so they're completely different than what most of the REITs see.
Any further questions? No? Final. Okay. So I guess it will happen. It's 7:25, so we'll call this meeting adjourned, and thank you very much.